Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
I'm excited because this morning I have a simple instruction to reintroduce God to you. Okay? Just imagine. Coming from a background where you dare not hug your dad. And then you see another child hugging the dad. You will almost feel the child is sinning. What I'm trying to say is that your experience is unique to you. Don't generalize it. To some, God is God. To others, is daddy. Okay? And psychologically, it's been proven that you almost may not see God differently from the way you perceive your earthly father until you have been taught again. Now, love up with God and say, I love you, Jesus. You are not, look at the way you are doing it. Just give that hug. Say, I love you, Lord. Because if you don't understand the love of God, intimacy will look like sin. Yes, as you start going intimate with God and doing certain things, you will begin to feel, I may be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you shouldn't talk to God this way. Maybe you shouldn't tell God we need to talk. Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Scent of water, part 3. Of all this series, this is the most important. I have cried my eyes out. I'm not ashamed to cry before the congregation because it is real to me. I want to show you something about the story of Esau and Jacob. Are you with me? Are you sure? So we want to pick a few stories. I hope to show you 3 stories. But if I'm not able to, I hope to show you lessons from the story of Esau, from the story of Reuben, and from the story of Samson. So I'm going to start from Esau. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 9. You know, there was a particular year that I got into depression. And my only request was, how will you send me into ministry and I can't afford to buy a shoe? Yes. A shoe. The day they were to ordain us, I was the last to kneel down. Not because I was proud, but because the shoe I was wearing, the hole under my legs was actually touching the ground. So I've come to announce to somebody, you will be happy again. Romans chapter number 9. I will start the reading from verse 6 so we can have quite some detailed study. Not as though the word of God, Romans 9 from verse 6, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, sometimes when you read the Bible, it's like God specializes in waiting for things to be too late then show up, so it can be clear it is him. Now look at this story from verse 11 now. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the promise of the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, nor of God that shows mercy. You know, we love this scripture. And the reason why we love scriptures like this is because you put yourself in the Jacob part. If you are on the other side of the divide, is God still a good God? Better think before you answer that question. I feel, unless we understand this scripture, if we judge as humans, it is not fair. Talk to me. You have not done anything. Esau has not done anything good or bad. God just pick favorite. How? How is he right? So if God has chosen one as favorite, so why is he allowing the other person to struggle? What's the point? Just pick your favorite and move. True? It's not fair on Esau. Just say Esau. He didn't even say, he said Esau have I hated. True? But what exactly is happening? Do you mind showing you what is happening? I'd like to show you. When you read the Bible, basic biblical humanetics, basic. Know who he's talking. Know who he's talking to. Then you will understand the circumference of what he's saying. Let's start from the simplest. Who is the person talking? God. Let's look at a few qualities of this God. Number one, he's ageless. We don't know where he came from. Have you tried to think, what would have happened? Is there a family of God? Is there something happening in this constellation that we don't know anything about? Maybe the remaining gods will just wake up one day and say, no, no, no. Anybody, you think about this. What is he not telling us? Another quality of this God is that he is not in time. He created time, but he operates outside of it. Okay? You are like that too. You are in time, but there are situations that take you out of time. So let me explain it. Very simple. Okay? Let me give you an illustration. How many of you here you've seen a movie before? Hello, Self Light Church. Seen a movie before? Okay, thank you. still come. So imagine a new movie just came out, a blockbuster. And they said, Apostle, we're going to go and see this movie together at the cinema. I said, yes. Well, somehow, somebody sent me a link to watch it online. So I watched the movie from beginning till the end. Then both of us started watching the movie. And all the suspenseful part, I seem not to be responding. Because as far as that movie is concerned, he's the only one who is in time. I already know the end before we started. The producer of the movie cannot have the suspense you have, because the story was finished before it was acted. If when the movie is starting, the producer says, I like Bimbo, he is speaking from the part of what he has watched from beginning till the end. The ones who are confused are those who are in the middle. So when God said, Jacob have I loved, where was he speaking from? He has seen their life play. And he loved the decisions he made. And he said, I like that. You are the beginning of a finished project. Now listen. Jesus said, lo, I come in volume of books, as it is written of me to do your will, O God. Please pay attention. In all your knowing, you must know the script that was written concerning you. That when the devil tries to bring the opposite, and suddenly a doctor is saying you have this medical condition, you can say, according to what is written in the script that God has shown me from the end, I did not die of sickness. That's where faith comes from. It is outside time. They said, look at it. This is, we saw a vision concerning you. You died of accident. According to the script, I lived very old. And God can't show me what doesn't exist. According to the script, you didn't marry wrong. If you are trapped in time, you'll be conquered by what conquers time? Agitation. Depression. Oh, Apostle, may you finish well. According to the script, I finished well. Hey. I said amen.
Amen.
That's where God was talking from. We have been able to paint a Nigerian God because we believe we are Jacob's, and to hell with the Esau's. So I want to show you something about Esau today. How that, if it's just about living, sir, that guy, na man he be. Never believe any negative prophecy. He said in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 that I know the thought that I think towards you. They are thought of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, an expected end. Say it, the end is sealed.
Yes.
Say it again, the end is sealed.
Yes.
So let me paint a very quick narrative. Is that okay? Let me just share the story. I like to tell stories. So this was the word that went to the mother. This is, you will have two nations are within you. The younger shall serve the elder shall serve the younger. This. So it means that according to that word of prophecy, Isaac was supposed to give the birthright to Jacob. He was supposed to. Both of them chose two different professions. Jacob was the guy that was at home to till the ground and do all those things. Esau was the field guy. And it's not a crime to be a field guy. That's what he chose. Okay? And he must have been responsible enough for the father to say, go and get me venison, I want to bless you. For the father to hear that prophecy and still choose to give him. There must be something he's doing right. And Rebecca heard and called Jacob. I see, your father is about to give the blessing to your brother. This. Now, Esther, get me a kid. I'm going to kill and prepare. Dress it and take it to your father. Jacob said, I know you want me to be blessed, but if daddy should find out that I am not Esau, he will curse me. Rebecca said, when he released the curse, let the curse be on me. That's favor. When people go out of their way to carry you till you get your destination, it's favor. He said, let the curse be on me. Then they demonstrated something that showed us that it was not about Jacob. It was about Christ. When she killed the animal, she placed the skin on him. Jacob got to Isaac. Isaac said, come my son. And he smelled the smell. The Bible said he touched his body. And he said, this is the body of Esau. But the skin, the voice of Jacob. That is, as we come before the Lord, we are clothed with the flesh of the one who died. It is Christ, but the voice of Nakali. Do you understand that? And he said, what did he say? He said, I want to eat it, then bless you. But the Bible said in Genesis 27, projected verse 27, that he smelled the smell of his raiment. He said, cook, let me eat. Blessing will be provoked. Then he smelled. What did he smell? What died for him to be blessed? When he smelled it, look at it. He smelled the smell and did what? Blessing. And said, the smell of my son. What is the smell of his son? That's not the smell of his son. That's the smell of what died. It has the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. I smell Christ. This people in my family, shut up. It ended. Look at it. Which the Lord has blessed. Verse 28 now. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve you. Let nations bow to you. Be Lord over your brethren. Let your mother's son bow to you. You know, there's something happening. And he began to say, cursed be anyone that, from the moment he said, cursed be anyone that curse you. It means even if I find out now that you are a deceiver, I can no longer curse you. He sealed it. And blessed be everyone, be he that bless you. Verse 30 now. This doesn't make sense. As it came to, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was scarcely gone from his presence. Then Esau came in. Meaning that if the narrative was here about, let me eat, then bless you, Jacob stood no chance. Esau will catch them there. Some of you, God will have to hasten your journey. Because the normal protocol will be lateness. So you will have to break protocol. Because there is a need to shrink time. I'm sensing emergencies in heaven. There are things you have said they will be for later, but they are actually for now. Because the activity of God can't wait. Please be seated. Sir, Esau did not come late. It was just the fragrance of what died that spoke. The person that is coming behind you is not lazy. It is the grace of Jesus that spoke for you.
Yes, sir.
The person that is not doing well like you, they are not dull. It is the fragrance of Christ that is speaking for you. When God lifts you, become more humble. If it was by works, you will never be there. It is amazing how we get it by grace, then come back to teach works. So that we can... You know what we are doing? We are pulling off the skin of the one that died. And we are now bare. And we confuse a generation. I'm sorry. I would have loved to say a few things, but I'm not confrontational. And we come back and give standards that you did not actually enter through that standard. How that not many wise were called, not many nobles were called, but God used the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. The fact that God is using you is a proof that he made you stupid. To now come back and act as though you earned it is a lie. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. Seeing therefore as we have this ministry, we faint not, having received mercy. Every ministry is a product of mercy. Oh God, I can't be the one that will do this. That's exactly the reason why you are the one. Because grace is not needed where there's ability. And what God wants to do, he wants to take full credit for it. Say it, I'm graced.
I'm graced.
Come on, say it again, I'm graced. I'm graced. Say it again, I'm graced.
I'm graced.
Let's read the full story, because I think most of us usually stop there. And then let's interpret this in normal parlance. Let's interpret this. Alright, that same Genesis chapter number 27. Okay, are you with me? Now let's continue from where we stopped. Now, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from his presence, that Esau his brother came from his hunting, and he also had made a savory meat and brought it to his father, and said to his father, let my father arise and eat the son's venison, that your soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said to him, who are you? You will not be asked, who are you, when you get to your day of manifestation. And he said, I am your son, your firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that has taken the venison and has brought it me, and I've eaten of all before you came, and I've blessed him, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard these words, the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, your brother came with subtlety and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times, took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord and all his brothers, and I have given to him for servant. Sorry, all his brothers have I given to him for servant. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now to you, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, guy, with God there's always more. Say there's always more. Say it again. I'm going to show you. Let's look at a few things. Behold, thy dwelling place shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. Did he say the same to Jacob? Yes. Continue. And by thy sword shall thou live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from your neck. Can you give me this in Amplified Translation? Give me this in Amplified Translation. By your sword, you shall live and you shall serve your brother. But the time shall come when you will grow restive. Another translation use restless, when you are tired. Then you will tear his yoke from your neck. Meaning that it is breakable. He gave him a blessing, showed him the consequence of missing his, then showed him the way out. Now let's continue, please. And Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing of his father, because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, the days of money of my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Let's look at the picture. Please come, people, come. Come, Nakali, come. Come, bride, come. Stand here. This is a mother. Come. Stand beside her. This is a father. These are their two children. The father was going to die. The mother had joined hands with one of the sons. They have deceived the father. The father has blessed him. When he took the blessing, he ran away. Then we have one left, Esau. The father began to look at the mother. So you have deceived me. Marriage had issues on his final day on earth. Second son ran away. First son was telling the dying father, just know, your day of mourning are here. I'm going to have time to kill him. The family will no longer be the same again. The last meeting they had as a family was the last they will ever have. The man is dying. The mother a widow. First son running after the younger one. The younger one a fugitive. No family. Because somebody thought he was smarter than God. And that was the end of that family. And please, thank you. Sit down. Let me just teach the remaining issues. And the one that was blessed will go on to fall in love with a girl, and they will tell him that the criteria to marry this girl is to serve for 7 years. 7 years, you have it, I will serve. Serve for 7 years. They gave him the wrong woman. What we ordered versus what we got. He said, that's why we don't do weddings at night, though, so that you'll be sure. And not say that, I asked for Rachel, you gave me Leah. All right? Woke up feeling, they say, what did you give me? They say, okay, that one that you wanted, according to our culture, we can't just give you that girl. Okay? This is the elder sister. Well, you'll have to serve for another 7 years. Then he did it. 14 years. To get a woman. Put yourself in the condition of Leah now. Are you that bad? That somebody won't mind serving another 7 years? Because he doesn't want to have you. It doesn't make any sense. True? Does it make sense? No! I would have loved to show you the children he gave birth to. And discover that sometimes the stones that the builders reject. The chief cornerstone. Okay? But look at it. The guy kept struggling. And struggling. We were not hearing much about Esau. But the guy that carried, how will the person carrying the blessing of Abraham be a servant? How? And the brother, Esau, concluded he was not blessed. Jacob is the guy. Until I saw something. And I saw it, I said, this God. Turn your Bibles with me. Genesis chapter number 30. Are you with me? Are you there? Let me jump a bit. Okay, Genesis 33, sorry. Let's look at this reunion. Genesis 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked. From verse 1. And behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided his children to Leah and to Rachel, and 200 handmaids. And he put the handmaid and their children foremost, and Leah and her children and Rachel, and Joseph last. And he passed on before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times. I thought the blessing was that Esau will bow to Esau, to Jacob. As he was seeing Esau from afar, the majesty was seen, the beauty was seen. He was bowing down seven times. Where to, sir? Where to, sir? Where to, sir? And Esau ran to meet him and he embraced him. Esau that said, I will kill him. Three chapters again. It seemed like he has learned something. And he ran towards Jacob. And he embraced him. More like the father of the prodigal son. And fell on his neck and killed him. And kissed him, sorry, not killed him. And they wept. And lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children. And said, who are those with you? And he said, the children which God has graciously given your servant. Then the handmaid came near and their children. And they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And Joseph came near and Rachel and bowed themselves. And he said, what mean you by the dwarf which I met? That is the gift you sent ahead. And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough. My brother, I have enough. Keep that you have to yourself. And Jacob said, no. I pray you, no. If now I have found grace in your sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore have I seen your face, as though I have seen the face of God. Are you pleased with me? Take now, I pray you, my blessings that is brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough, he hushed him. And he took it. And he said, let us take our journey and go, and I will go with you. And he said to him again, Jacob said to Esau, my Lord knows that the children are tender. So let me explain. There were different folds of the blessing. And Isaac gave Esau that there's an hack. He said, the day you become restless, you will break his yoke from your neck. When I read that, I wish Esau said, what about the neck of my descendants? But Isaac said, as far as you are concerned, Esau, you will break it. Let me show you something according to scriptures. If you listen to my message, it's one of the teachings you will need to hear, encountering God as El Shaddai. I said something in it. That if a man refuses, let me explain in a way you can understand. When God called Abraham from his father's house and his mother's house, what did Abraham do? God said, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make your seed to be as much as the stars of the sky. This, that. Fantastic. But Abraham went with Lot. The next time God spoke, because you would think God was making a mistake, until you understand the Bible, God began to say, I will bless your seed. I will multiply them. I will do this. It looks like Abraham was out of the equation, but his seed were in the equation. Meaning that when you get out of covenant, if care is not taken, the only part of you that will not be relevant is your womb. You will now have to give birth to children who will do what you cannot do. And that's why you read in the Bible, this begets, this begets, this begets, this begets, this begets. They were in the equation, but the only part needed was the womb. Never get to a point that the sum total of your destiny is just to birth the next generation, so that God can now find a way to repair them, then use them. Many of you, unfortunately, came from places where God had to move from a generation to you. May he not move from you. Say the amen again. Amen. Have I made that a bit clear? The reason why I'm giving you that illustration is because Jacob, in the energy of the flesh, if you put him side by side with Esau, the one that carried the manifestation of that blessing in the land of the living was Esau. Jacob became relevant for his descendants to continue. And that's why he was always busy, always running up and down. Jacob was always trying new things. When he saw Esau coming, he's a smart guy. Very smart. He has divided into two. You go like this. If he kills us, we know we still survive. There was no record of asking God, what should I do? There was no record. Okay? And he kept outsmarting. Actually, God would have had a way to still make sure that even in the last moment, if God has ordained that it is for Jacob, it will come to him. The issue is that when you watch what God said happening like it's no longer yours, you want to interrupt him. That's the way to bring the opposite. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It will come to him. He was always agitated. Let me try this. Let me try that. But there was a particular point, and I want to project that scripture. The moment, in the midst of all this journey, still going ahead, the moment God saw that Jacob was left alone. And for many people, all that God needs to see now is that there comes a moment that you are now at the end of your agitation. No more struggling, no more worry, no more agitation. Eve could not come until God made Adam sleep. Sleep. You are too smart. Sleep. You are too wise. You are too agitated. The moment God saw that he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob, that speed that was your main advantage, we are taking it from you today to enter the blessing. And verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou. Meaning that blessing was still lacking. Verse 27. And he asked him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. You know, when God asks you, it's differently. Bless me, bless me, bless me. And the angel looked at him. What is your name? Deceiver. Liar. Supplanter. For the first time, it occurred to him, I have been living my name. And he said to him, that will no longer be your name, because you can't enter by deceiving. Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. And a new nation was birthed in his greatest weakness. That was when he got it. So he discovered, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs. It is of God that shows mercy. What you are running after will be gotten when God conquers you. But as far as Esau was concerned, he walked in it. The fall of a man is not the end of his life. Okay? When we read it, Esau, the guy got it. He got it. He walked in it. Jacob must have thought, when I see him, he's going to be in rags. No. The guy was standing tall. He said, don't worry about your gift. I have more than enough. I'm blessed. I hope you know how Jacob got those things. That was the final spoil he just got from the father-in-law. He just got those things. It's not like it's new money. He just got those things out. He was not working in it before. He was not. He didn't have it. Listen, I tell you, under God, there is no case in the Bible. Which case do you want to tell me? Is it the fall of Adam? That God gave a verdict And it was a serious, harsh judgment, and it was the final. The only time that ever happened in the Bible was because they never appealed. Even when Adam fell, read your Bible, Genesis 3. God told them, he said, who was on it? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did. The man said, the woman you gave me deceived me and I eat. Woman, what have you done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. God look at the serpent. Show me that scripture. He said, you are cursed above all the cattle of the field. You are cursed. Upon your belly you will crawl all the days of your life. He looked at Adam. What did he say? Cursed is the ground for your sake. That's the God of the Bible. He's not an assassin. He doesn't have favorite. It looks like the Nigerian God is a God you can employ to kill the one who is not his favorite. It looks like the God of Nigerian church is a God you can employ to destroy the. And God had taken time to show throughout scripture that this is my nature. When Jacob was sold to slavery, you know the story. When Joseph was sold to slavery and all that. He will not come out of prison till he forgave his brothers. And he understood that in their hostility towards him was God working behind the scene to set him up for the throne. Joseph was a blessed man, but there was another guy there called Judah. Judah was in the midst of the crowd. It was from the loins of Judah that David will come, that Joseph will come, that Jesus will come. Joseph, you suffered, but what you suffered for is still not about you. It is about those among those who made you suffer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning that you will enter your inheritance when you forgive them and know. It is only a privilege to preserve those that persecuted me. Meaning that your worst enemy is still God's friend. And part of the things you suffered for is still needed for their maintenance. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. You think having suffered all this, God should bring Jesus from the loins of Joseph? He didn't. There is a bigger picture. So when you say, God, use me, understand. Part of using you will be using you to preserve your enemies. Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. The way we paint the Nigerian God, it looks very scary. Like somebody can trigger him to kill you the moment you speak against the abnormalities in church. When you tell people that it is wrong to wait for a man of God to fail and say, we always know. Say, you don't talk like that because, shut up. God is not trying to kill me to pacify anybody as their favorite. Guess what? He doesn't love you and Jesus differently. He loves you the same way. Now, listen. If God loves one children, he loves some sons more than some sons, then God is building a dysfunctional family. It means God is the author of dysfunctionality. We are equal in his love. I am not better than you because I'm preaching. It is my job. Description. And you have your own job description. And you are graced for it. Everybody is just doing their job. If I try to do your own job, by try to sing now, they'll start looking for a bunch of keys for me and picking my key. Go and pick another one in Lugbe and say, where did this key go? Because if care is not taken, I was giving illustration of football. In football, how many of you believe that strikers and attackers stand more chance to win the Ballon d'Or? Stand better chance. It's not like that with God. We are rewarded for faithfulness based on the assignment, not for what is allowed. Do you understand? It's not about the size of ministry. Oh, Apostle Lazarus is doing an exploit. What about the one who is on the knees praying for him? So the Bible said it's not unjust to forget that labor of love. What I want to show you is that if you stand face to face with Esau, the day his father said, your brother have made him your Lord, you say, Esau, your own is finished. But there is hope for a tree, though it be cut down. If the root remains in the earth, even if the stump waxes old, at the scent of water, it will spring back again. He said, tell Ezekiah he's going to die. Ezekiah turned his face over and said, God, this is. God said, tell him, I've added 60 more years. Never allow any verdict of judgment go unappealed. Look at the Bible. Even Moses, when he said Moses would die, it was not appealed. I told you, one time I called our pastors and I said, if I'm going to maybe discipline someone for doing what is wrong, if you stand in front of me and you are adding petrol to it and say, Apostle, do it, I will suspect you. Appeal for them. Little children, these I write unto you that you sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate of the Father. Now listen. Listen to this. Imagine if my daughter misbehaves and I say, hey, young lady, naughty corner now. I say, hey, take her there, go and sit down there now. And somebody just get up and say, yes, slap her, eat her, do this. I will leave the girl and face you. What's your? You don't interrupt Jesus and his bride, even when the bride is wrong. Oh, this person has made a mistake. Now he deserves his ministry to end. Shut up. Intercede. There are ministers in this country, they are eagerly waiting for them to crash. As far as the God of heaven liveth, that day will not come. Amen. That day will not come. Yes. Please be seated. That day will not come. Sir, pray for your pastors. Understand that. That's the nature of God. David and Moses was giving law. This is the law. Take this law. This is. One time, Moses said, he said to God, he said, there's no satisfaction in my spirit. He said, I'm not ready to proceed with these people until you reveal yourself to me. I don't know. I want to show you something. Do you mind? Yeah, let me show you something. Listen. He said, I'm not ready to proceed with these guys until you reveal yourself to me. In Genesis 24, Exodus 24, let me just quote. God already told Moses, he told Nadab, he told Abihu. He said, gather yourself to this mountain and worship me. And this. He said, I will come down. He said, let Moses alone come near and the rest worship our Father. Go and read your Bible. The Bible said that day God came down, they saw the God of Israel and they hurt with him in his presence. The moment that was done, Moses climbed up and he went with God in the clouds. Few chapters later, Moses began to say, show me your glory. The rest will think we have seen everything. I want, there's more. I want to know you more. And then God came to Moses and began to reintroduce himself. He said, I will, look at what God said. God said, I will cause my glory to pass before you. All right. Genesis 33. He said, I will cause my glory to pass before you. All right. And the Bible said, God took Moses and he hid him in the cleft of the rock. Then God covered his eyes. Then God passed before him. Then God proclaimed the name of the Lord. Ah. The more you know God is, the more you know you don't know him. Anytime you stop to boast, you have stopped knowing. You cannot be in a continuous progress of knowing God and be able to boast. His knowledge humbles us. Look at the name God called himself. Exodus 34. I want to reintroduce this God. Is that okay now? Do you mind? I want to reintroduce him. Look at the name God called himself. In Exodus 34 now. Alright, let me start the reading from verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. Look at the name God proclaimed himself to a man giving them law. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. That is, Moses giving law found grace. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? He knew that there is a path. You know, when you look at the law, if you do this, you should be stoned. You think God will come down and say, I am the one that kills. Can we read this together loud and clear? The loudest you can. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaim the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant. Which of these look like the Nigerian God? Hold on. You may not understand what it means for Moses to be hearing this. If this is who you are, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness. So what have I found? Do you understand that? This is his character. He could only reveal that character in Christ. In fullness. In Christ. This is the character of that God. This is his nature. This is his person. Now you can't look at anybody and say the hope is gone. No. Look at this person and say, you have wasted the most important part of your life. There is nothing that can come out of you again. Now lie. Let me tell you a story. Something you may not know. And I say this because, I've heard Baba say it himself. When they liked your Bishop Oyedepo, we were already doing ministry and all that. Pastor Yi Adebowo was here to be born again. You go and quote me anywhere. Alright? It came quite late. The rest, all those men started around their teenage years. He was already married before he gave his life to Christ. He was married before he even got into ministry and started learning and started doing all those things. What I'm saying with this God, you can never write off a man and say that, how old are you that you already feel you are too late? Are you in your 90s? Moses started ministry at 80. He tried to start at 40, it failed. 40 years of silence. And God never said, I've changed my mind. 40 years, sir. 40 years of silence. I showed the story of Catherine Kuman. They brought a guest minister to minister in their church. And she fell in love with the guest minister. And ran away with him for years. I can't remember, about 12 years. Okay. Will you look at that kind of person and say, God will never use one? Or will you call her prostitute, useless woman? But this was God rewriting her story. The Kuman we read about. The same path. God was saying, it will still be you. Adversity rise, the devil rise, get to the courtroom of heaven. This. It can no longer be her, because according to your word, he that breaks the head, the serpent will strike. Jesus said, listen to this. There is a blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. If only you know the number of accusations that have risen against you and the victories you won without even appealing. It doesn't matter how skillful your lawyers are. They can only appeal in the court of the earth. But we have an advocate who stands in the court of heaven. She has aborted. So she has no right to give birth to children again. Who is it that says it when God has not spoken? You must understand that. This is the nature of God. Please be seated. Oh, I came late. I've wasted the most important time of my life. Nothing can become of me again. You are just about to start. You are just about to start. I shared with you the story of that woman that was met at the well of Samaria. She has had 5 husbands. You can't see that in husband's house. Look at her. Useless woman. Mad woman. Bad enough. Then Jesus went to that same woman, and she was the first person that he revealed himself to as the Messiah. Show me that scripture. Matthew 5 verse 3 message translation. Oh Jesus. Look at it. Can you give me message translation? Oh Lord. There's this song coming to my spirit. Blessed are you, Lord, my God.
Oh, Lord, our God. Eternity's only King. Blessed are you, Lord, our God. Whose words brings forth the evening.
Same Jacob stood and he said, gather yourselves, you sons of Jacob, for me to tell you what will befall you on the last days. Genesis 49. He couldn't wait. He was very angry. And he called one of his boys. He said, Reuben, step forward. And he looked at him. He said, Reuben, you are my son. My firstborn, the beginning of my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. What will you say when you hear this? The end of Reuben is finished now. The first has become the last. And he gave his reason. So he was a lawful captive. That is, there's a reason for this curse upon you. But we saw later, give me that same scripture. Deuteronomy, I think 33. And Moses, the servant of God, came. And he looked for that same Reuben. He searched him out. They become so scanty. And he searched him out from the tribe of Israel. And he said, Reuben! Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. God always allows his mercy to appeal all these cases. And we were shocked when Reuben began to make excuses with Moses. Like, we don't want to go to war. And Moses said, Reuben shall go first. Come back to your rightful position. Take it back! Take it back! Your inability to forgive yourself is keeping you in prison. It is not the judgment of God. You didn't know God. And that's why you thought it was his judgment. I'm saying there is nothing under the umbrella sin that his blood did not take care of. There is nothing under the umbrella sin that his blood did not take care of. And when you encounter, we cannot save the world with the current message we are preaching. They don't hate our Jesus. Our message is scared them. The God that we project looks like a God that will find a way to judge you. Because what a man sow, so he's going to find a way to make sure that he judge you with it. Mercy reverses the law of adverse. We sowed sin, but we reap life. Because Christ was sown for us. Lift your hands, everyone. Say, I'm not condemned. Say, I'm not finished. It is not over. Say it again, it is not over. Say it again, it is not over. Put your hands down. Never run away from God because you feel dirty. Never. Stuff you've not been able to stop. It is being close to Him and trusting His love. The grace that brings a man out is from that presence. And that's the battle cry of the devil. You are too dirty. Run, run, run. He wants to kill you. You are too bad. Stop church now. Stop at once. God is still in the business of using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I read the story of Samson. Samson messed up all his days. Yeah, read the story. Everywhere he went, he saw a woman. Always falling in love. Everywhere. One woman or the other. One woman. Are you the only one? All the things they said he should not do, he did. They tried to harass him, he will harass them back. But do you know, a critical study of the story of Samson. Do you know where Samson was living when they killed him? He was living in Gaza. How did Samson get to start living in the estate of the people he's fighting against? Because his own people bounded him hands and legs and handed him over. He got to a point, he felt safer. Do you understand? In the territory of his enemies than the territory of his own people. That was what happened. And the Bible said he saw a woman. The Philistines had come to meet the woman and said, in fact, the woman was actually a girlfriend of one of them. Say, go and meet him. And she pillowed his head on her lap. Was enjoying it. Where's your strength? Show me where your strength is. Something, you know, you say you love me, but you're not telling me the secret. You know, theologians believe that Samson was a very tiny looking guy. Because when you imagine Samson, you imagine six packs. Because you can't separate human ability from God's. You imagine six packs like a guy going to the gym. And finally, Samson said, have you observed my head? There are seven locks there. If you cut them, my strength will go. Have you ever imagined the reason why God put the strength in what has the ability to grow back? Because God knows he's human. He put that strength in what has the ability to grow back. That's his loving kindness. And as they were torturing him, a useless guy, look at you. You are this, you are that. They did not notice that the hair was growing faster than normal. And one day, for the first time in his life, he has never prayed. We never saw a record of him pray. Maybe somebody is here who has never prayed, never studied the Bible. But that part is clear now. Because when you stop spiritual activity for a long time, it looks like cobwebs and everything cover. You don't even know how to start. If you want to start the Bible, you feel too guilty to start. Start at once. Open it. Okay? Open it. Start from Romans, Ephesians. You may not understand, but life is entering your spirit. Start. And as he opened, as he began to communicate to God, we saw that God doesn't keep malice. I did something and God left me for 7 days. Is your theology that is wrong? He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. When we were on campus, a lady came to me, one of my friends, or she became my friend through that conversation. And then she said she made a mistake years back, and then since then the Holy Spirit withdrew from her. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit withdrew from you. Say yes. Is that mistake that bad? Like you tried to dethrone God, said no. So we were talking. And you know what was happening? Fact. I was just gisting with her. It is amazing. People come to see me and they're expecting this man that is thinking, I'm going to see one gigi. They come. They see me play video games. Say, ah, no, somebody came to my house one time and then I know he just wanted to impress that he's a man of prayer and got up around 2 a.m. I said to him, that's environmental disturbance. You don't have to put all of us, you don't have to disturb our sleep because you want to talk to your father. Talk to him quietly. You know, like, I'm in Apostle's house. I must show that I pray. Then he went again. Because then we're on campus. My roommate just called him. Said, Oga, we pray in this house. If you try this again, I will slap you. Baba, calm down. It was there we discovered that God could actually hear. You have no business impressing anybody. You have no business. And Samson prayed, but God never kept malice. The right guy said, God has always been that left me. We were just gisting. Talking about God, His love, and all that. You know what happened? She just began to cry. We're talking in the cafeteria. Just began to cry. And broke down in tears and began to speak. She said she has not been able to speak in tongues for like 3 years. Ow! It was your mind, not the Holy Spirit. It was your mind. For 3 years, is the Holy Ghost a malice keeper? He never abandoned Jesus, even in death. If the spirit of Him that raised Christ from the grave be in us, it will quicken your mortal bodies. He doesn't live. Even when we leave our earthly bodies, He will be there till resurrection morning. Doesn't live. I said He doesn't live. You've made a mistake. You can't perceive Him. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. He doesn't live. Once your theology is wrong, your experience will be wrong. She began to cry. Break out in tears and in tongues. So then she discovered, nobody said receive, because He's always been there. Just waiting for her to know that this is my love. I've been waiting. But there's a way you can feel hatred is coming from the place of highest love. And as Samson prayed, God heard. I wish he knew God will hear. He would have prayed a different prayer. Because he said, let me now die with them. And from the knowledge of this God I know, actually, I discovered that his greatest exploit would have been without sight. It would have just been a mystery. How that God is using a man who doesn't have eyes for wonders. But he felt, now that there's scandal and everybody knows and I've lost this, it's better to die. And God is saying, no. You could ask for more. You could become a testimony of God's redeeming love. Oh, I've made this mistake. I've lost my ministry. What's left now? Let me just do this exploit and die. No. Your life can now become a testimony that God can bring what is dead back to life. Except a grain of wheat first fall to the ground and die. It abides alone. You know, the air of Samson going back for somebody might be that marriage that crashed, God is bringing back life from it. The hell of something that grows back for somebody else might be that the business that Christ and all those who thought are friends will describe that they are enemies will be that there's a new spring. And again, God is showing, I'm the help of the helpless. Sir, never write off anyone. As far as God is on the throne, at the scent of water, there'll be life. There'll be life. There'll be life. In fact, about Jesus, we now had a conversation. The Bible said, if the princes of this world had known, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Meaning that the devil was running to assassinate him, not knowing that the glory is actually in his death. Do you understand that? Only for the devil to discover that I have hastened God's purpose. In the area that the devil is fighting you is him hastening God's purpose. It is amazing how that the same thing I've cried the most about all my life and the same thing are now the point of contact of glory. If you go through it well, the only way we will know is that you will come back and testify about what you have cried about. Do you understand? I didn't get it. No, let me try and explain. Oh, I came from a family that is so bad. They ought me up this, everything bad. I went to hell. I suffered. My daddy was not there for me. My mommy was not there for me. There is an anointing that comes through that experience. That the point of your destiny opening up, what will open that door is actually the anointing that came from that experience. Meaning that you will discover that you could not have become what you have become unless that you have that experience. You will now look back at the experience and say, this experience was actually a blessing in disguise. It is a blessing that the beginning part is pain, but the end of it is sweet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like when you take bitter, have you ever had a breakup before? You look at the breakup, I can never love again. only to discover that the plan of God was at the end of that breakup. You are bouncing back. The mistakes I've made in my life, I don't owe the knowledge of it to you. Some of you will feel this man is not fit to pastor me. Did he not save you from the same thing? You want to marry a girl. He told you about her past. He said, I'm not doing it again. You don't qualify for what the Bible calls husband. Because the way Jesus demonstrated himself as the head of the church is by washing her with the washing of the water and the blood. So you mean you dated a guy that slept with you and aborted for you? Wow. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And I'm not going to take advantage of you for what that guy has done. I will show what it means to be a husband. I will nurture you. I will mature you. I will groom you. I will grow you. Meaning that there are no husbands if you cannot accommodate the excesses of the bride. Marry a husband, not a boy. Because I saw the need to come back and teach on when you are married to a spouse from a dysfunctional background. I need to teach about marrying someone from that background. Because we can teach about it, but it is differently to now be trusted with somebody from that background. And God trusts you not to take advantage of that knowledge to marry a girl that the father hates so much. And you not treat her bad and say, am I not better than father? Amen. So I read across scriptures. Even Judas, his story ended because he killed himself. That was why it ended that way. That same blood was potent enough to wash him. Don't be like Judas. Forgive yourself. I've said this again and again. The story is not permitted to end until we sing the songs of victory. It will not end. You used to have before. Now you are somebody who doesn't have. Everybody ridicule you and walk on you. Don't worry. The story is not permitted to end until we sing the songs of victory. There was a case of a guy. There are messages I would like to recommend in this direction. I taught a message, Jephthah, will you still fight? The case of a guy called Jephthah. The mother is a prostitute. They said he gave birth to him out of wedlock. Call the prostitute, bastard, get out from amongst us. Leave us now. You're a bad child. Your mother is a woman of no legitimacy. Leave us. It is amazing how that is still those broken bones that come back to get the job done. And later they were faced with so much adversity. And they had to come and call the same Jephthah. Come and be captain over us. The stone that the builders reject is the chief cornerstone. Be careful of going to a place and see somebody that everybody keeps treading upon. That might be the captain. God hides his weapon of offense so that men will not celebrate it too soon. He needs those adversities to sharpen you. And the proof that you went through it well is that you can embrace those who ignored you. That's the proof. Any adversity you came to go through, and you come out, say now, everybody's calling you, they are inviting you, so and so country. So people now called you, among those who have said, we can never invite this person. You now say, in the days that I was small, where were you people? You didn't go through what you have gone through well. And you have just shown that there's a need to repeat classes. You have only passed if you forgive. Amen. When Esau met Jacob, he showed that not just do I have, I'm gracious. He ran towards him and he hugged him. That's headship. That's headship. Lift your hands where you sit. The visions are getting clearer. Amen. The things God was saying before that it looked like he stopped speaking about. Maybe you made a mistake. God is saying, he's speaking about them again. There is clarity. There is revelation. There's awareness. That same anointing you used to perceive is back again. The same closeness, the same presence, the same glory, the same cloud of glory. The way scriptures used to be alive to you. The things God was saying He will do. And it looked like He went and kept quiet for a long time. The same assignment He said He will use you for. That it looked like He stopped because you made a mistake and missed a step. He's back. And He's saying, do you still care? Do you still care? The plan still stands. The vision is still the same. You will still be used. I've not changed my mind. It is still you. You felt you broke up with somebody. And you felt maybe you missed God. And the person is now married. And you felt your own is finished. He said, no. No. I can never run out of options. I'm still in the business of replacement. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive. I receive your love. I walk in it. In the name of Jesus. My heart, my life receives the manifestation of the scent of water today. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands, everyone. Soaking into His love. Soaking into His love. Soaking into His love. And say, there is a place. Come on. Just soak into His love. If you want to, see, don't, amen. Don't get busy and distracted with conventional church. It's your Father's house. If you want to lay on the floor, lay. If you want to find a spot, find a spot. If any posture, we don't do dogma. We don't do church here. Any posture, just find a place and receive His love. You know, you can give love and not know how to receive. Yes. Your greatest frustration can be because you are giving so much love, but you don't know how to receive it.
Bowing down before
you, just receive it. Receive His everlasting love. Receive His everlasting love.
Worshiping, bowing down before Him. We worship Him, bowing down before Him. That's why you made us. That's why we worship you.
That family is still going to be sweet again. That home will be sweet
That's
again.
That's why you made us.
Everything
That's
will be back to original design.
Worship him, bowing down before him. That's
Everything
why
will be back.
You made us. That's why we worship him. Bowing down before you. That's why you made us. That's why we worship you. Worship. Bowing down before you.
Oh, we receive your love. You're receiving love. You're receiving
our lives before you. As we worship Him, bowing down before Him, we lay our lives before You, Lord. As we worship Him, bowing down before Him, that's why You made us. That's why we will worship
Him. Oh yeah,
bowing.
Now, get up on your feet, everybody. In the curriculum of this gospel that we preach, is there a message for a gay? That there is something, there is a part of this curriculum that can wash a man clean from that, and the man is still a powerful vessel being used for nations? Does it exist? The issue is that it is not Jesus who is irritated. It is those who represent Him. And we have come to that situation where we will see those we have termed the worst of sinners become the best of saints. It was amazing. Listen to this. How that they were stoning Stephen. And the man that they were dropping the cloth at His feet was the one God was saying, you are His replacement. Listen, you are a child of promise. The prophecies that went ahead of you, God wasn't blabbing. They will not fall to the ground. Listen to what I'm saying. And I know this like I know my name. Sometimes people go for big meetings. Sit down in the crowd. Look at the man of God. And they are in awe. Like, my God. Ha! Will I ever be this? Meanwhile, if the ministry of that man will have future, it will be because God will use that same person in the crowd, nameless and faceless, for him in future. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'd love to give you illustrations. That somebody's there saying, oh my God, this. And it's the one that God will use to consolidate those works. There is a verdict upon your life that is not permitted to fall to the ground. It won't fall to the ground. It won't fall to the ground. It won't fall to the ground. And listen, you are not becoming another failed generation. As many as are waiting to say, we know it will fail, they will wait for life. And the stones that the builders reject is becoming chief cornerstones. There are many of you here that if they were to choose by voting who should be great in your family, you know nobody will pick you. But there is something called the election of grace.
Yes, sir.
There's the election of grace. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and just thank him for that redeeming love. Thank him for that redeeming love. Oh, we give you praise. And we honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lion roar, eagles fly.
It's you were meant to fly.
One more time.
Lion roar, eagles fly. It's in you.
Listen. Let me tell you a bit of the story of my life so you can understand where I'm preaching from. I think earlier this year or last year, I went to preach in my childhood church. I went to minister as the invited guest minister to minister in their 50 years anniversary. I stood on that podium. I looked at the crowd. I looked at them. I remember in this same church, in children's church, I will have been beaten and battered. They will be cleaning blood from my head. I was maltreated. Not the student teacher, by a guardian. My head, face, swollen. Several times they will take me to the photographer to snap him, to see how they want to kill this boy. I'll be bruised, battered. I'll be shivering. I couldn't do choreography. I'll be shaking on that children, I'll be dancing. They will say, look at your hand, you are too stiff. You can't do anything right in life. I stood there to minister the 50th anniversary. And I thought, the stones that the builders reject. Listen though, don't write off yourself. God is just getting started. He's just getting started. Pick back that assignment where you drop it. Pick back the courage to go back. There are people, many of you can't go back to out of guilt. Go back! God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. If they like, let them not forgive. Go back. Praise God. Lift your hands and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we're praying. Father, let it be that everyone that hears this sound will hear the voice of you beckoning them to get back to the original plan. As many that now think that it is too late to be useful, it is too late to be relevant, use this as a sound of alarm to bring your own back. In the name of Jesus. My Father, my God, I ask that you help. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, look up. God wants me to give you this illustration. You know the story of the 10 virgins? Five were wise. Five were foolish. Huh? Why were five foolish? Because they didn't carry oil. Talk to me. Talk to me now. Uh-huh. To go on a journey with the bride, with the groom, right? That's not why they were foolish. They were foolish because they failed to realize that the one they were waiting to meet is the light himself. You don't mourn your lack of oil when you are before him. He is everything you need. Don't go and buy when he's there. Oh, I'm not righteous enough. I'm not clean enough. I'm not like them. That's why he's here. I decree that your eyes will be opened. You will walk in the light. You will walk in this love and be able to administer the same. Everyone that encounters you today will see the redeeming love of Christ. Thank you, Father, because it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. If this service has blessed you, give Jesus a very, very, very sounding clap.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.